This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, watch the season premiere of Survivor, Winners at War.
Check. Hello.
I'm sorry I broke your studio.
Okay. All right. Here, keep talking.
Do you need $1 million for breakfast?
I think it's my PC cream.
I had caffeine pills and a Diet Coke.
Okay. You're just kind of jumping right in here and I'm still setting up. Is that what you're doing?
You said to keep talking. I thought we were checking levels. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm
okay, sorry. Okay. I think it might be my PC pre. See, you got to get the right balance. There, that's a little better. I don't like that. I don't like starting out like that. I feel cursed.
No. I'm sorry.
Should we restart, or is this the show?
This is the show. Unless you don't want it to be a show.
Yeah. Alex and Merlin pre-show. Ooh, yeah. Ooh. So, Alex, tell me about your breakfast. You had caffeine pills and what else?
Oh. You don't do that. But on the radio when they're testing levels.
Oh yeah, you ask people what they have for breakfast. Yeah.
And I had caffeine pills and Diet Coke.
I always ask people the last thing they masturbated to.
Oh. Hmm. Yeah.
That went nowhere.
Yep. Nope. Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it.
We're into season 6 of Grey's Anatomy now.
Oh boy. You're gonna meet. Oh, you already have met the lesbians.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We met Arizona. We met everybody. You know, she's not named after the state. She's named after the ship.
Yes.
She tells Hector Elizondo that.
Mm-hmm. She's a good man in a storm. Yeah.
I don't know. I miss George.
Oh, George.
That one up a season-ending episode with him and Izzy, damn.
Mm-hmm.
That was some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Woof.
Yep.
That's the only thing that ever made me feel on that show.
Really? Come on.
Oh, the show's terrible. It's a terrible show.
It is a terrible show.
But the scene when the elevator door opens, I was describing it to my wife and I cried a little bit.
Oof.
So corny. Why did that get me?
You know what? I think it's because it's very Doctor Who.
That scene especially.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. Yeah, because it reminded me of something, too. You know what it is also? That we thought we'd never see George again, and then we did, and he's wearing his uniform.
Oh, God. It's like when Eleven walks back, and you don't think that it's going to be him. You think it's going to be 12, and then, now I need to watch that episode.
It's like all the Doctor Who's. It's like all the Doctors Who. It's like when Riversong is explaining that, you know, Gallifrey, they don't have a word for this, and then the things still catching up, and then you're like, oh, I cry and cry every time.
Mm-hmm.
When a good man goes to war. Boy, that's another dumb show that I love so much.
I haven't caught up to, I'm a little sexist. I haven't seen much of The Lady Doctor.
I am so sexist because if I watched the first 2 episodes of last season, I'd be surprised. I didn't dislike it, but I didn't get into it. Like, I loved her, but the show was not grabbing me. And now I'm 2 seasons behind.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that we didn't appreciate Stephen Moffat enough. That's...
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think...
Wow.
Us woke social justice warriors scared him away. That's...
Mm-hmm. Is he a gay man?
No, that was the other guy who...
No, I know, Mark Gatiss.
Yeah.
But like...
No. Russell T. Davies.
Oh, well, he was a gay man, too.
Yeah, and his partner died.
But yeah, Mark Gatiss is a gay man.
Yes.
Minecraft Holmes? When she was little, she used to say Minecraft when she meant Minecraft.
Oh, that's so... I mean, he is very boxy. Like, he's a very skinny block.
Yeah.
He just fits right in there.
I love... I'm still getting set up here. I love both those shows. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's something about Doctor Who that is, especially the Moffat stuff, that is such a double-edged sword. I mean, on the one hand, he obviously loves Doctor Who so much, and he loves being able to pick up threads of Doctor Who that nobody else has picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of in a similar way to, like, what Damon Lindelof and team did with Hooded Justice, you're like, well, that's kind of an interesting thing that's been sitting in plain sight. What do we do with that?
Yeah.
That doesn't always have to be Daleks and Cybermen. But when you do Daleks and Cybermen, there's ways to twist that up. You're like, oh my God. You know, who's the brown haired girl?
I don't know.
Clara.
The Impossible Girl or something.
The Impossible Girl, Soufflé Girl.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that stuff, it's so dumb. There's more and more. Does everybody have to be a somebody, the boy who lived and the girl who souffléed and all those dumb things? And like, why is she three different characters and something about the time stream and Trenzalore and like, you're meeting River Song backwards, but you're married. And it's like, it's all so stupid, but it has so, if you're open to it in this shameful way, it has so many sobbing payoffs.
Together or not at all.
It's so terrible. Is this what it's like to be into anime? Is this what anime is like?
Oh, I don't know. I wonder. Well, yeah. Do you mean Pokemon? Because
it really just looks like, it looks like boys with spiky hair throwing fire all the time. I figure there must be something more to it.
Is it
tasteful nudes?
Maybe it's the, well, tasteful, I don't know if that's the right word, but maybe it's the pillows too. Like, I don't know. I really...
Oh, where you get a pillow that looks like an anime boy or a girl?
Or a girl. I've seen mostly girls.
I got that Jar Jar Binks hair a lot of the time. Is that Sailor Moon I'm thinking of? What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
You can fuck it. You can fuck it. It's a pillow.
How?
I've been watching a lot of small Japanese house videos.
Small Japanese house video. Okay. Small, like they're small Japanese people or it's a small Japanese house.
It's not that confusing of a language.
Or
I've been watching a lot of videos of houses in Japan that are small that have people in them.
Okay. Well, that would have been a less confusing sentence.
Hi. I watch those. I watch a lot of things about vans.
See, do you mean the shoe or the car? It's very confusing.
You need a disambiguation page.
It'll be in the show notes.
So let me grab my coffee. Tell me what's up with you. Oh, I did have a question for you, but tell me what's up with you. What's going on?
Well, I'm wondering if Max is alive. I'm really enjoying my Diet Coke.
If you want to be on the show, you have to come to the show.
You have to be on the show.
Whoever's on the show is on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Jack Kerouac or one of the Beats who always said you're either on the bus or off the bus?
Mm-hmm.
And right now he's off the fucking bus.
Yep, no wagons here.
Got that. Okay. Ha, ha, ha. So...
Is there like a seltzer situation going on? What? You seem very frenzied.
No, listen. I slept later than I should have.
Oh.
I slept pretty good. I did the thing where I fell asleep on the couch watching TV and I woke up and I went, ha, ha, ha. And then I went to bed, but I wasn't worried about it because I'm the sky, not the weather. And then, but I did wake up kind of late, like after 7:30, and so I was a little bit like getting in the office. But I assume, perhaps erroneously, that Max would be not punctual. So I think I nailed it. So I'm still putting it together. I'm fixing my mic. Every time I play guitar, it throws off my pre-PC balance, I think. And then I have to go back and fix my pre-PC, otherwise I can't hear myself.
Yeah, we kind of got cooked there. Here you're doing some music stuff, talking about it on other shows.
So if you heard Back to Work, Back to Work on Tuesday, I couldn't hear myself at all. And I think it might have been my pre-PC balance. You know what I'm talking about?
No, not even a little bit.
So when you're on the USB Pre 2.
Yes.
Actually, you used to get these on like 4-track recorders too. There's a dial called pre-PC, and it adjusts the balance of the amount that's coming from the like your side versus what you're getting from the PC. So it's how much of one person versus the other you're hearing in your cans, I think.
Okay.
I think, but I'm not sure.
So why would you need that?
God, this is boring. I'm so sorry. Because I guess that's probably a simplified way to not need five different dials for how much of stuff you're getting in your headphones, but I don't know.
Oh, all right.
The thing is, have you seen a USB Pre too?
Yes, I have. They look very pretty.
It's hard to touch it without changing something.
Yeah, it frightens me a little bit.
No matter where you grab it, you're either going to unplug something or hit a button.
I do like that, let's say, in this genre of a certain podcast, let's say a bunch of tech people on the same network have all the same equipment, and it's like there's like a glass window around most of their equipment, like never going to touch it, just never, ever going to touch it.
Oh, if I had my druthers, I would. I finally bought a separate box, pardon my saying, for my guitar, so to make it easier to go, I got a 94, it's called, and so now, yeah, I'm doing a song a day. It's very exciting.
What now?
No,
oh,
no, 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 no,
yes,
they're not
yes,
for,
yes.
No, they're not for you, they're not for you, it's for me. They're not for you, it's for me. Not for you, it's for me. It's me getting back into the swing, and so I'm doing all my covers that I do to, you know, burn it off.
So you changed strings? What gauge you at?
Let's see, 10 to 42 on the electric.
And it's Max.
That.
Just
hey,
in
Max.
Time to talk about the guitar string gauges.
what kind of gauges do you like?
Oh, honestly, what I go to my guy and I'm like, here's what my calluses look like. What string should I be using? And then they're like, something, something gauge. And I just let him do it.
You play guitar?
Yeah. It's for me. It's not for
for us.
It's not for you.
The new guy, my new guy has been moving me towards lighter gauge strings, but he's also a little bit judgmental is too strong a word. He's definitely very editorial about musical instrument. Oh God, is he going to fucking eat on the air again?
Did they have jelly?
Was it the crinkling?
Max, don't eat on the air, buddy.
Okay,
it's so gross.
I'm going to mute myself, and then you can't hear me eating the bagel.
Great, then we'll have him eating in the room sound. So he agreed to restring my and clean up my my acoustic and my usual electric, and it's like, you know what, I've also got this Gretsch guitar lele, and he got a little bit I don't know, he's like yeah, I don't know, I used to have one of those and I didn't really like it, and I'm like, oh yeah, but can you string it up for me? He's like, the strings are kind of, it's sort of hard to play on the. And I was like, yeah, no, but I mean, so, you know, it's really fun. Because you know what I'm talking about? It's like, it looks like a tenor or a baritone ukulele, but it's a six-string guitar. And they're great. And you can just have one in the living room and play it. And he's like, I mean, you could bring it in. And it was like I said, hey, I just found something brown in my toilet. Can I put it in a box and have you touch it? I guess... That's conceivable. I'm not a fan.
It's like you brought your Samsung phone with your Mac into an Apple store.
An Apple
and they're
store?
Like, oh, well.
I can make this into bookends for you.
Yeah.
But then I made a second trip. I got back on my Segway. And believe me, you look so cool carrying two guitars on a Segway.
Mm-hmm.
And so while he was still processing me at the music store, don't be creepy, I was able to buzz home, grab the guitar lele, and then bring that back and look at it. And you know what he did then? He went like this. Curse a real sword?
Were you doing this in a closet? What?
What kind of sword?
Okay.
A real sword?
All right.
Okay. Have you ever heard of that one? How to curse a real sword?
But from Mabinmayum?
You ever heard that one?
Yeah.
Have you seen the animatic with the Adventure Time characters?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Checking. You weren't laughing at my bit. like a big, real fighting sword. They make me so happy.
Oh,
so,
boy.
I'm all set up. I have a new really cool guitar cable I'm going to start using today. I'm pumped about that.
Gold-plated?
I only get the gold-plated. If you're going to get HDMI, you're going to really want to get the gold Ethernet cables to go with it. You can tie them together and beat the shit out of your Samsung phone. My daughter has asked me to ask you, now that she's into the lifestyle. She wants a Rhino shirt like you were wearing when we met you. Are you able to share offline with me where she can get a Rhino shirt?
A Rhino shirt. Oh, my rhinos. Yes, of course.
Will you share that with me offline?
Mm-hmm. I will.
Thank you.
It's quite a boutique.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's good. Hey, Max, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, what's going on?
How's the cafe?
I feel like I got a second job working at a restaurant.
Oh, that was a bad idea. You already run a company.
Yeah.
Oh no, you don't need that.
Yeah, I was on the radio. I'll figure out how to put this in the show notes. I was on the radio. I did a radio show. I'm doing a lot of media to promote the cafe, and then also like going to the cafe to like kind of host and, you know, whatever, help out with stuff. So it's a lot of late nights and early mornings and stuff. And I was out Monday night. I was on WGN, which is like the local AM radio station, the like Chicago. It's like the AM radio station that has all the Chicago sports on it. So it's like the main one.
I had it. I had it on my cable system, this TV version.
Oh, there you go.
It's a very popular station.
Yeah.
It is.
That's a big deal.
I was on with Justin Kaufman talking about the cafe, and he does like, it's like a call-in show, you know, it's like one of those like before I came in, he was like popping off about the Cubs, and he's like, call in with your thoughts on this,
I don't know,
pitcher. So probably Kara was on the other line, frantically
punching
numbers, like, I gotta get through to this asshole. I was trying to think of a funny person to call in, and I was like, I would like, if there's a Michael Bloomberg supporter out there listening to this, I would like them to call in because I don't believe that you're real. And I would love to hear from a Michael Bloomberg supporter, a real Bloomhead. And sure enough, this guy calls in. He's like, it's Larry from Bloomberg or from Bloomington or something. And he's a Bloomberg supporter.
I think his name, let me give you a Felix name. How about Torrance Porch?
Yes. And he's like my sons told me all about him and he did great things for New York. And I was like, let me stop you right there. You are not a real person. You sound like a computer program. And if I told you a riddle right now, I think you would explode. And he goes, no, I am a real person.
I'm real. I'm a real boy.
And I said, quickly, what did you have for dinner? And he goes, baked chicken. And I was like, yeah, but if I made a computer program that was like calling radio shows to support me for president and it was asked what it would have for dinner, I wouldn't think too hard about it. I go, I don't know, baked chicken.
Naming a food does not prove that you're not Turing complete if all you do is name something and how it's prepared.
That definitely sounded, I think that's getting that off of GPT-2. I think it's all made up.
Vegetables with seasoning. I had food from a box that was warm. Bloomberg.
You know what? If Alex called into radio,
that's what I was thinking.
If Alex called into radio and was like, "I support Michael Bloomberg and I'm a real person," and I'd be like, "Alex, what did you have for dinner last night?"
But that's the thing. I would have
nuts and bolts.
No,
nuts and bolts. Ha ha ha.
What did you have for dinner last night?
Do you actually want?
Yeah.
I had a spoonful of peanut butter.
Oh God. I'd be like, well, you couldn't. No AI could come up with that.
Yeah.
You're such a cliche of Alex Cox.
Yeah. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. You're like your own super fan. You're so fucking weird.
Oh, God.
I love it. What'd you have for dinner last night, Max? Quick. Don't think it.
Ooh.
Also, identify crosswalks. Identify traffic lights. What did you eat?
You know, my least favorite one of those is when you need to click, when you're trying to click on all the crosswalks or the bridges or something.
Yeah.
And then it goes away. And it fades back real slowly. And it fades back and you're like, come on, I'm trying to look at my fucking bank account or something.
I know this is already a cliche of a joke. It's like almost at airline food level lowness of humor. But it does drive me crazy. I'm just going to say this. It really grinds my gears when I know that that thing is, they want me to identify that as a crosswalk, but that's not a crosswalk. That's not part of the crosswalk. Right. If that were a crosswalk, that person would be dead. Just because there's lines there does not make that a crosswalk.
One of the big ones for me in that category is awnings. When it asks you to identify the awnings,
oh my God.
What the fuck does this think an awning is? Like, you're looking at some like an umbrella over a cafe table, and you're like, does it think that's an awning? Am I supposed to say yes or no to that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? They should let us do this. This would be a good project for us. It would be stuff like identify the bistro.
Well.
Now identify the fast casual dining.
The problem, you know, they're
now identify the restaurant.
I'm sure you know this, but they don't actually care about you proving you're a human. What they're doing is having
you're
training
improving
machine,
their
computer vision. So,
which one of these women has resting bitch face? We don't like her.
I wish there was like a. Like a USB-C cable versus a Thunderbolt 3 cable. Like if you're buying an iPhone,
I would watch that.
You should have to do that. Yeah,
you should.
Exactly.
You should dump your gender show and just do cable or not.
I'm telling you, I really want to do the show. I really want to make a show about cables called Cable News.
Yeah, you've been talking about this forever. Why is no one doing this show with you?
I don't know.
It could be. It doesn't have to be regular. It could be as available. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I can't have a...
Cable News. And would it be with Cable Sasser?
Oh, would that be the dream? That would be the dream.
And Robert News.
That's a big get.
That would be great. I had Chinese food. We tried a new Chinese place last night, and it was such an important thing to find in your life, is the absolute highest quality shitty Chinese food. You can get, like, nice Chinese food. That may not be very good, but if you can find shitty Chinese food that's extremely good, do you know what I'm talking about? There's like empirically crappy Chinese food. Like there is a class of Chinese food that I would call like cheap Chinese food. If you get the really good cheap Chinese food, oh man, it's a dream. I had sesame chicken last night. Woof.
I love, I'm going to use my sort of like Chipotle logic here of like, I love Chipotle. I don't think that it's Mexican food. I think it's its own thing, right? But I really enjoy eating it. It's very similar with the American Chinese food.
That would be, you know what, Max? Sorry, I'll let you continue. That would be a great captcha.
Oh, that would.
Yes.
Is this Mexican food? Was this prepared fresh? Does it have E. coli?
I'm aware. I know that you know sesame chicken and broccoli is not. Real Chinese food. I know that it's kind of its own. It's kind of its own thing.
Egg foo young, really?
God, it's so good though. It's what a great category of food though.
Oh man, they Chinese preparations. They jam so much fucking flavor into like a protein and a starch, and it's the greatest. It's absolutely the greatest.
Some of those, you know, San Francisco's got a really good dim sum scene. There's some dim sum places downtown in San Francisco. Some of the best dim sum I've ever had.
They do interrupt a lot, though, which I don't like.
With the little carts. And
there's a lot of interrupting, and there's a lot of cart jamming, where they really want to get in there. It's all
I
full sales.
I never know what to do when they do that.
Yeah, you're in the middle of eating.
No, I don't want the duck face. Thank you.
You're eating your chicken feet, and they're like, can I interest you in a fried newspaper?
Yes, please.
Was this fork breaded in a gluten-free environment?
Yes, please.
I know it's a difficult question. Just identify the crosswalk, please.
So I went from doing the radio at night, and then that was it. Like I got home at like 11 or 12, and then I was on yesterday. We were on, was it yesterday? I don't know. Time has lost all meaning.
Yeah.
5:30 a.m. WCIU's The Jam.
What the
jam.
Fuck is WCIU?
That's like the big morning TV show in Chicago.
You're on The Jam with Timmy and the IUD.
And they brought it's on TV and they got
oh,
a guy.
Yeah.
And so they had a dude come in. The remote team was there and they would be like, you know, Aaron Chef Aaron like made some like little plates for them and I had like a 45-second segment and he's like, yo, the guy was so funny. He like never said the name of the place right. He's like, yo, I'm here at the Chicago Boardroom Cafe with the co-creator Max Temkin. Max, tell us where we're at. And I'm like, well, we're in our room where it's communal dining and you can come in and play party games. And he goes, that's crazy, man. We're out here. It's Tuesday. Back to you.
Giving away t-shirts and bumper stickers.
Oh, God.
Come on down, free hysterectomies. It's happening. We're gonna throw speakers at your head. Get inside the hot dog pool.
He like comes up close to the camera.
Come on down, get your autograph from the IUD.
No.
He goes up close to the camera and he goes, "We out here on a Tuesday." And I was like,
"It's Tuesday."
I was like, what
baby.
A delightfully generic thing to say. Like maybe when we're done with the podcast from now on, that'll be my new sign off. We're out here on a Wednesday or a Friday, whenever it comes out that week.
Yeah. That's a really good idea. You should do that.
I saw something amazing this week, which is Pornhub released the data set of the most searched for celebrities on Pornhub.
Oh!
I love Pornhub data.
I do
so much.
I think it's very interesting.
When they do the maps by state and stuff, I fucking love this. I also love the phenomenon, side topic, I love the phenomenon of people slipping non-porn stuff onto Pornhub so it won't get taken down by YouTube.
I did that.
That's
I put my Humans vs. Zombies documentary as a copyrighted song in it, and YouTube took it down and copyright struck me, and I wanted people to see it, so I put it on Pornhub.
That's so good. But then they end up taking down a lot of the good stuff because of claims. It's a shame. And then so you were saying.
Well, I have one. I'm going to be a pedant about one of those Pornhub things that you mentioned, which is when they do the here's the most searched for thing in each state. Mm-hmm. It's actually, they're not showing you the most searched for thing in each state.
It's the most searched for unique.
Correct.
No one else had this at their top.
Correct. Aww. That's like, so they're like, oh, in Kentucky, this was the highest thing that was in no other state's top one. Like they're, yeah, exactly. It's like optimized for uniqueness.
It's really misleading. I mean, if you, those maps end up being, because America is fairly homogenized in so many ways, you know, you're going to get a lot of dank MILFs. Like that's just what they search for.
Correct.
Pornhub Insights.
So here's something interesting was I was looking through this list of the most searched for people and celebrities, and I had to go pretty far down the list to find someone that I recognized, that I knew. Well, there's a few like...
Recognized or found attractive?
No, that I literally knew their name.
Okay. Oh, I see. Oh, so it's like Twitter moments when you find out that somebody from Twitch is divorcing from somebody on YouTube.
Number one by almost... twice as much as the next person. Number one most searched for, Belle Daphne.
Wait, are these Daphne? Porn stars?
No, these are
celebrities.
These are civilians. These are these are celebs.
Oh. All right.
Wait, so are you looking at 2019 year in review? What are you looking at?
I'm looking at 2019 year in review.
Okay.
So cool. I of course had to know who Belle Daphne is. And do you remember when I got obsessed with the gamer bathwater girl?
Oh no.
That's her.
That
she
checks out.
Is that she I guess yeah, I she is what does she do? She does
I see. Oh shit, she's the fourth highest search overall?
Yes.
Wait.
Wow.
Alien is number 2?
So
I mean
Kim Kardashian, ooh, Cardi B, Ariana Grande, Nicki Minaj, Selena Gomez, Kylie Jenner. These are all people I know who are up at the top. But what about Lena the Plug?
Oh, Lena the Plug. What?
A slur for Lena Dunham? Like
Shorty El Nino Poya.
Isn't you know how there's always those like people's like sexiest people alive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isn't this in a way a more democratic version
of this?
That's
so true.
Right?
Oh, yes.
Like,
my God.
It's kind of like, who do you want to crank your hog to? Mm-hmm. By, and it's like the numbers tell no lies. If people want to crank their hog to Lena the Plug, like Lena the Plug is one of people's, she is one of the sexiest people.
This is why the service is provided.
And wouldn't it be weird if you woke up one day and you opened the issue of People and it was People's Sexiest People Alive and you only recognized 6 of them? You like literally never heard of the names of the. You'd be like, what happened? Was I slip into a coma?
I mean, it's upset.
It's beyond a joke at this point. I'm so confused by fucking everything. Okay. I take screenshots every day of Twitter moments of things that just to show people where I'm like, I don't know what any of this means. I've never heard of these platforms. I've never heard of these people. I've never heard of this apparently famous relationship that they have. And I couldn't possibly care less why they're no longer seeing each other.
Why
is it we only hear about when like fake celebrity couples break up? Like, why is that news? That's so goddamn weird.
Why do you guys know about who Sniper Wolf is?
Sniper Wolf.
Nope.
Korean, Japanese. Okay. Straight guy's daddy, bareback black, big dude.
Tana Mongao.
Tana Mongao.
Tana Mongao.
Here's an interest. I find this very interesting.
I feel like I'm going. I feel like I'm going crazy. Like I just like. Like I feel like I got Planet of the Apes. Like who are these? Why are these people so famous?
Yeah.
I got the first. I want to be a YouTuber when I grow up. The other day, and I was like, oh no! I always thought that was a joke. That like. People are saying, oh, all these kids want to grow up to be YouTubers. No, they actually do. That's very strange to me.
Is it too simplistic to say that for my purposes, at least for now, can I just, when people say YouTube, can I just substitute TV? is it similar to the way I felt about TV when I was a youth?
But that's the thing. It's they watch YouTube more than they do TV.
That's why I'm saying it. That's why I'm saying. Well, is it like saying I want to be a TV star? Is
I
what
know.
I'm asking.
Yes, yes. Okay, I see what you're saying. It is absolutely that.
When I consume like stuff from the 80s, there's a, like novels and stuff. There's a lot of references to like the boob tube and the dum-dums who watch TV. And, and to me, it's like, well, I don't think TV is that like bad. I mean, is it that is it that like, you know,
I've talked about this so many times. It was a huge thing in my life, always hanging over me about how much I love TV and how much my mom hated TV. And it was a constant battle. She'd always be cutting the plug off the end of the TV because like I'd watched too much. Yeah, it was like your brain is going to rot. You're a smart kid. You're throwing your life away watching TV. What are you doing? That was very much like a theme hanging over our head.
But I think this is different.
And it's why Gen Xers are so weird with their kids about screens now. Because they're like, oh, I know coding is weird and apps suck and privacy is bad and, you know, but...
But there's this... But everyone seemed to have this consensus in older, in the maybe the 70s and 80s, that the content, that the stuff on TV was just like the dumbest of dumb, the lowest of garbage, you know, the dregs of culture, just like just not absolute garbage. And I watch a lot of garbage TV. I mean, Survivor is a kind of a garbage TV. The Bachelor is certainly garbage TV. But I actually don't. Is it that bad? I mean, I don't know. Is it feel like Survivor's not that bad to watch?
No.
Is that
no, especially not the. I mean, spoilers for the challenge, but especially not this.
For what I mean, for what it is, it's the best of the shit for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm getting something out of it. I think.
No, you don't need to be weird about that. Yeah. No.
I think it's weird.
But, oh, right. But, however, I do. When I think of YouTube, I do think of YouTube as like, if you're watching hours of YouTube a day, you're wasting your life. Like, do not do that. YouTube is actual. YouTube is, you are eating out of the dumpster. YouTube is really bad. Like,
really?
Even if you don't start out eating out of the dumpster, the problem, I think part of the problem is that when you watch a lot of it, as is increasingly well documented, It will take your preferences based on what you watched for how long and then show you increasingly more intense versions of whatever you started out with. I don't I could be wrong, but this is what people say is you start off looking at you know, Jordan Peterson, and then pretty soon you're, you know, watching Lenny Riefenstahl or whatever. Like you don't know where it came from, and now if you have autoplay on, it's gonna keep taking you into weirder and weirder things. I just get shown more things about music in vans.
Yeah,
which is a great Talking Heads record.
YouTube thinks I'm very boring.
I just think there's a dumbness. There's a I don't know. Maybe I'm sound like an old man now, but there's a dumbness.
No, but it's also pre-chewed. There's so much shit on there, and like the whole joke about, hey guys, please remember to like and subscribe, is because it's true. It's so thirsty, and you can just feel the calculation in every single video of like, oh, how much of this music can I include without getting a strike? Like, I watched a video last night where they had three cover versions of songs in it. It was a video about how people who've written songs based on classical music. And they had three different songs where they had to play the cover. God forbid you ever talk about the Eagles or it's going to get taken down, right? And anyway, but there's all those things and you're like, and you're just watching it. Like, by the end, it's like, I feel like I'm really just watching an ad for this person.
Well, okay. One, you both do sound like old men, but two,
well, I am old, Alex. That's how I'm still alive. If I weren't old, I'd be dead.
But
do you know how that works? Have you really thought that through?
I really haven't. No. Okay. But two, if like someone wants to be a YouTuber, they need to be really, really smart because they need to know how to game the algorithm. They need to, like Lindsay Ellis, she needs to know exactly how much she can put in her video before it gets taken down and like how she can contest all of the weird copyright claims that aren't of, you know, an actual studio clip or something. And it's really fucking hard. But that's the weird thing about it to me is you're not aspiring to make it's not like you want to be a blogger. You want to be a podcaster or even a video blogger. You want to be on this specific platform. It's like saying, I want to be a Viner. Even though I know that was a thing, but
Not everybody can be Lena the Plug.
Exactly.
I like how it says here, it has their name, and then it's got a couple words to give context for who they are. So you got Belle Delphine, social media. Mm-hmm. Kim Kardashian, media personality. Cardi B, artist. Lena the Plug, social media. Ariana. So, you know what? This has an implicitly judgy... hierarchy to it. Mm-hmm. So Ariana Grande and Nicki Minaj and Selena Gomez are all artists.
You know what? I'm looking up Sniper Wolf.
Sniper Wolf. She's social media. You got Rihanna. Tana Mongo.
Oh, see, I feel like this isn't fair. Lena the Plug seems to work for Pornhub, I think.
Oh,
based on her Instagram. Like, maybe not.
Like Ribby.
Oh, so
oh,
this
no,
is like
this
a...
Is, oh, dear. Oh, dear.
This okay, so Sniper Wolf is like, does like, she's kind of a cosplay. She posts like sort of thirst trap like cosplay, sort of thirst trap like cosplay pictures.
Also, we should mention for the record, I think just because people search for these people does by no means indicate that there is porno of them on the site.
It does not say how to, if they complete it, if you, if,
excuse me, that's,
you know, if they finish.
That's, yes,
that's Sniper Wolf.
I hate to say it, but she seems a little basic. She seems
Lena the Plug is nothing to write home about.
Oh, I agree.
No, Lena the Plug looks like she works at a TCPY, you know. No, God bless her heart.
Oh, God.
Lena.
She shows her boobs, she covers her boobs. She shows her boobs, she covers her boobs. She poses next to a vagina and a tube, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
A vagina, did you see the vagina and a tube? The Fleshlight Girls.
I have...
Okay.
Yep, ooh. Don't look, don't...
S-S-S yep.
Go,
Sniper.
You stuck
what about
go.
Lena the Plug? Let me learn about...
That one's...
I'm going to find...
I keep trying... I'm afraid to go into an investigation of the plug.
Oh, Lena the Plug does... She does real porno things.
Yes. Yeah, no, she...
Oh, no, she has a penis in her mouth.
Yeah, oh,
okay,
yep, exactly. Yep, yep. It's really
close
easy
the door.
To get there. It happened a little too fast.
You know what? That's one of my best. That's a great affectation that I really enjoy from The Sopranos, which is when. So it's like they're all having dinner. They're all having dinner,
and somebody says something a little saucy.
Yeah, and AJ goes, "Dad, pass me the fucking mashed potatoes." And then all his like capos are sitting at the table and go, "Oh." Isn't that great? I want to start doing
that.
Yeah.
Wow. She shows her boobs. She hides her boobs. She shows her boobs.
I know. She's like,
she puts the penis in her mouth. She takes the penis out of her mouth. She hides her boobs. She shows the boobs. She's putting on her shoes. She's posing. Mm-hmm. She's sitting with a thong upon a seat.
Yeah.
And then she's on a penthouse cover with a man of meat. Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I'd eat them in a box. Even if I get the hug, I will not fuck Lena the Plug.
No.
Okay. All right.
After show.
What?
No.
What are you
36
talking about?
I don't know. Okay.
What was our challenge? Did we have a challenge this week?
Yes, we had a challenge.
What was it?
Watch the season premiere of Survivor.
Oh,
winner.
Fuck yeah.
At
I did that. Oh, I
yeah.
did that.
Yeah. It was good. Ooh.
Have I told you my other favorite thing that I like from a TV show that I've tried to kind of work it into my life, which is on. There's this Japanese show on Netflix called Terrace House. Has anyone gotten into that?
Yes.
I've heard great things.
Uh-huh.
It's so it's sort of a similar to almost like maybe like a Big Brother or something, but it's
like
they
wholesome.
It's extremely wholesome. So it's these young sort of 20-somethings, and they're all invited to live in this very like posh house in a city somewhere. And they don't like get locked in the house or anything like that. They go about their lives and they work. But it's kind of a dating show. They can date each other and things like that, but because it's Japanese, it's very respectful and it doesn't tend to like explode into conflict in the same way as like American reality TV.
They don't have a champagne fuck chamber.
No, it's very all sort of very.
Come on down to Coitus Island.
It's all sort of very
penetration village.
It's very sort of pleasant.
I
find it like very soothing.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it's very mannered.
Yes,
like it's classy.
Yeah. Yes, and one of the things is someone will go, they'll be like, we need to have a conversation. And they sit down at the table and goes, yesterday you came home from work and you ate my leftovers in the refrigerator. And those leftovers were important to me because I was saving them for this thing. And the guy will go, even if the person being accused like agrees, doesn't agree, he'll go, And it's sort of a respectful, it's like, I am listening to you. It's you know what it is? It's
the Japanese Barbero.
It's the John Roderick thing. You're saying Roger, but not Roger Wilco.
Oh yeah, like I heard you. It doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
Right.
Okay. I thought it was more like a Michael Barbero, like a
And I've tried to kind of pepper that in. Someone goes,
that's good.
Someone will go, I am very upset to be working in this office, and I don't think I can do my job because we do not have the right flavors of LaCroix in the refrigerator. And I'll go,
Wow, wait a minute. Was that you just now? Holy shit, that was really effective. Whoa, do it again. Hey, come on. It's too cold in here. I can't wear a sweater because of my arms. Oh, my God, that was effective. Shit. You know, you just upped your game.
This is not.
You should do a seminar on this. You should teach a class.
Nope. Isn't it good?
Nope.
It's so good. And because it's Japanese, it's not covered by copyright.
Can't copyright strike
that's
that.
How
nope,
that
nope,
works.
Nope. That was in the Magna Carta. Oh, you win. Boy. Holy shit.
Yeah. I think it's good. I like that it also it buys you a moment in conversation to not say the first dumb thing you think of.
There's a line in the original series of Mystery Science Theater 3000 that there's so many lines that go through my head. I'm going to give you a few of mine that just go through my head. Okay. So one of them is there's a wonderful scene in a wonderful episode where I think it was Crow says to Joel, I think they're talking about Christmas or something. He goes, I want to control who lives and who dies. And then Joel goes, oh, I don't know. I think about that a lot. Oh, I don't know. Or in The Simpsons, there's the bit where they have at the car show or the boat show or whatever, and there's the girl by the cars, and men keep coming up and going, do you come with the car? And she goes, oh, you. And then another man comes up and says, do you come with the car? And she goes, oh, you. There's hundreds of these that I think about, use, and actually frequently deploy, because sometimes, you know, TV teaches us how to respond, and in fact, in Max's case, how to manage others. Hi.
Merlin, is that like the wizard?
Yeah, like the wizard.
No, you go, oh, you.
No, do it again. Give me again. Give me a second one.
Merlin, what is that, like the wizard?
Oh, you.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Do it one more time.
Merlin, you going to cast a spell on me?
I fucked your mother. Like the wizard. Please remember to like and subscribe.
Ooh, do not look up Sniper Wolf.
Yeah.
That's my advice. Do not look up Sniper Wolf at work.
27 years old, England. Uh-huh.
Okay. Probably should have said this earlier in the program, but do not look these people up at work.
Now, what about Lena the Plug? Do you recommend looking up Lena the Plug? Why is she the Plug?
I showed it to Al. I judged it appropriate enough to show Alex.
There's nothing.
I looked at her Instagram, and I judged it. Oh, no, wait. Excuse me.
You don't want to look up Lena the Plug. Sniper is fine.
No, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I had this all backwards. I showed Alex Sniper Wolf because I judged that appropriate.
It's pretty
normal.
Do
not look up Lena the Plug.
It's like a peekaboo of nipples, kind of. Like if you go to images.
She had a penis in her mouth when I looked at the Pornhub. And then but the problem is the great thing to keep you off of the Pornhub is knowing that you will eventually see a large square ad of Elsa from Frozen with very big boobs looking like she's scared.
Oh, no.
It's this look of fear that I don't like, and that makes me close the window.
Oh, no.
Even if I have plowed deeply into a search on Lena the Plug, I get that, and she looks so scared. And I think, what are they doing to her? Or like you get the rabbit from Judy Hopps. It's like, why is Judy Hopps here? Why do you have to have Judy Hopps have big boobs and looking scared?
Why can't they just put some Klobuchar Vore in there? Like, everyone's happy in Vore.
Topic.
Yeah.
Talk to me. What am I fucking looking at here? Please talk to me about
the throwing the staplers at me vor porn.
Alex, this is all you, buddy.
Where's all right, let me go back to, there's so many chains.
This is in so many channels. It's in the Dream Team.
Oh, God, there we go. All right. Well, vor is a art form, shall we say.
Well, okay, hang on.
Okay,
I'm sorry. I don't want to micromanage your story. Uh-huh. But like, you got to remember... You gotta remember, no one's looking at this. This does not say vor.
I know.
It's four images and some letters. What am I looking at? Describe to the listener what I am looking at.
Okay. All right. So I'm not gonna describe what vor is.
Before you give me your glossary of Tumblr terms, tell me what we're looking at.
So it is.
Alex, is this loss? Am I looking at loss?
We've got in a illustration of Amy Klobuchar in a diaper.
What's the style? What's the style?
I don't know.
Happy fake Disney is the style.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's very good. Yes. Thank you. Happy fake Disney.
Remember, no one can see this but you. So just Amy Klobuchar is in a diaper grabbing a person in a dress who looks like she might be from a fairy tale.
Yep, and notice she's grabbing her by the ass and the tits, if there's a reach-around situation. Mm. So, illustration number two, it sort of looks like it's panel number two.
Pure Goya.
You know
the Goya,
yeah.
The Goya painting?
Who is she eating?
I don't know.
Is that supposed to be Ivanka?
Oh, no!
See, I read the words, too.
Oh, no!
Yes, that is supposed to be Ivanka.
The words say Amy Klobuchar fan art taking a bite out of the Trump family, one eye winking tongue out emoji, pound sign clobs, pound sign the clobber, pound sign Amy, please throw staplers at
clobberer.
Me.
Can we all agree that number two here is going to be the show art? Number two is very funny to me.
There's something about number three that really upsets me.
Yeah, I don't want to.
So number two is the famous Goya drawing who is it? The mythological creature with the creepy eyes eating the
Saturn?
Saturn, yeah, something like that, yeah. But that's what it looks like. She's stuffing, I guess, cartoon Alice in Wonderland Ivanka Trump backwards into her mouth, like she's backing into a parking space and screaming to get out, but Klobes won't let her go. She has a huge, huge diaper held together with what looks like strips of duct tape. I'm taking over here. Number three, Happy Disney Klobe is holding where her tummy would be, but no. Like in the Fantastic Four, when they want to show the cutaway of the Baxter Building, we see inside Amy Klobuchar's.
It's like
it's X-ray vision.
It's like she's like fistulated. We can see inside.
She has an 18-inch fistula and exposes this like little garbage pit where like a Bing Bong would die. Of Ivanka Trump apparently being digested.
No. Mm-hmm.
And she does not, she's still alive. And so basically, Amy Klobuchar is a sarlacc. And we're partway into the 1,000 years of digesting a child.
Mm-hmm.
Alex or Max, please, would somebody else like to take the last one? Can I just for continuity, can we remember through the previous three acts of this, it's fake Amy Klobuchar, Happy Disney in a diaper with duct tape? What is number four?
It's not duct tape. It's a normal diaper. It's just colorful diaper Velcro.
When's the last time you put a diaper on a woman? How did you close it? What magic diaper do you have that needs tape?
Don't you do it around the front? I don't know. Well, okay. The final panel is a
back view
of Amy Klobuchar.
With her diaper.
And with her diaper. And it appears as if she has filled
she's saying,
her diaper.
Yeah!
Yep. She has winking shitting face at the same time.
But she's stooping and looking back because she wants to see what she's producing.
Oh God, I didn't even think about that. I thought she was just like acknowledging her audience, but no.
No, she's I think she's straining at her stool. She's pushing an Ivanka.
No, you're right. And I didn't notice this the first time. I thought she was just like farting out Ivanka juice or something, but no, it seems
she shat Ivanka into the diaper she's wearing.
She did. And also she has socks on. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that bothers me, but I don't like that she's just wearing...
Also, yeah, and also Ivanka's wearing socks.
Yeah, I think that's
got
to be
a socks thing.
Yeah,
I
think it's
a thing.
Thing.
Yeah.
Like,
G-G-G-G-N.
Yeah.
And then there's a giant Ivanka-shaped dump in the diaper that Amy Klobuchar...
It's a very full diaper.
Yes.
It's so full. It's really straining at its the constraints of diaperness.
But this isn't it. This is why this is not Vore, because in Vore, everybody's having a good time. Both
people
want to
be
eaten.
Oh,
yeah,
that's nice.
Exactly. Uh huh. No.
I wish food was like that. I wish I knew I was giving food a good time.
God.
But then what if it came while you're eating it?
Mm.
Oh, no, my bagel finished. Ah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, really, you got cream cheese on it anyway.
There's this Twitter account that this came from called Cursed Boomer Images, which I'm very much enjoying watching.
It's fun for the, I used to follow it, for the amount that it posts, it's not that funny, and which is the problem. They should be a little pickier about what they put out, but they do occasionally have a real dinger. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, well, but you know what it is? No. It's the kind of humor we all love. That kind, you know what? You know, Max, I don't know if you remember this. It's the craziest thing. Back in 2016, there's one thing we all realized. Well, if Donald Trump does get elected, it's going to be so good for comedy. And that's what Cursed Boomer Images is really all about.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the kind of people you see who respond to Donald Trump's tweets and say things like, indicted rapist Cheeto man. Got him this time.
Yeah, this is not a quality account, I gotta say. Like, there's a lot of Trump hand jokes.
I'm enjoying almost all of them.
That's the joke.
Rare portrait of a young Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders. Is that Stalin? Or is that...
You just posted Yoda with liberal tears.
All right, that's
liberal
pretty funny.
Tears. Oh, they love the tears. Oh, God. So helpful.
I sent you a really good one in our channel.
Let's see. In Dream Team. Yeah.
No, in Do by Friday Actual.
Oh, God. What are you... Oh, my God. Stop on Moss. Okay.
There's so many,
ah!
There's
so many. Oh, no! Oh, no, 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 no,
that's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. No.
Oh, no!
That's... See, I like an image where at first you're like, what am I looking at here? Oh, all right. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm surprised by the lack of veins.
Is his penis a Twi'lek? He looks like he has a Caucasian Ala Secura, if you don't mind my saying. And what is that comedy cigar he has?
I know, right? Like, there's a lot of layers.
That's not a real cigar. That's a comedy cigar.
Yeah. And don't his nipples look not right?
Your move, Aran. I love it so much.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that good?
This is not going to be the show. God.
What if I post that in the Slack right or in the Discord right now? Would that be bad?
Yes. Yep.
That would be bad. You understand, Max? People are going to ask questions about that. HR has a file of all of these.
People are going to DM me, and then there's going to be a million responses of, I'm at work. I'm at work. And you know what? They're committing time theft.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be looking at the computer while you're at work.
Uh-huh.
Had that occurred to you?
This Discord isn't for your work.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe this Vore porn is on my screen that I chose to bring up.
Maybe I should post it in the Discord and ban everybody who
complains about it.
Yeah. Just a little... You know, cut the tall grass kind of a situation.
I have tweets like that. I have honeypot tweets. I have honeypot tweets where I post them knowing that this is going to be a great opportunity to thin the herd. I go into it knowing you'll never know which ones they are. But there are ones where I'll wait. I won't mute it. Or maybe I will mute it because I mute everything. But then I come back after a few hours and the rats eating themselves in the drum.
You know what the big one for me is? Very occasionally, one of the only good things Twitter is for is if you have like a really obscure technical question and you can't figure it out on like Stack Overflow. And sometimes I'll just post it on Twitter and I'll be like, "Does anyone know what I should do about this?" Like I've done that before. If I'm trying to,
boy, that's a great opportunity for humor, Max.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And
people
then,
really bring their own jokes for that one. That's fun.
I will say, I almost always get the answer that I need, but then I also get about 1,000 jokes, and those people all get muted.
Yep.
Oh, yep. Wow. That's very reserved. Yeah, no. Yeah. I don't like to block, but I'll do a mute.
Well, that's the great Brendan. I never block people because that's the great Brendan.
Well, no, I do a one too. I do the soft unfollow, and then I do the mute. First, I make them unfollow me.
I do the, oh, that's good. I do the,
just block them and then unblock them, and now they're not following you.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I do that. Yeah, I believe in the, there's the great Brendan Wardell tweet where he's like, never. Never block anyone, because if you block them, they can screenshot it and create content. And that's the first rule of posting warfare, is never give your enemy content.
I want to post a codex of things to help you understand why I don't respond to your tweets anymore. If the last tweet that I sent to you was any of these, well, sometimes I just want people to be happy. One you can definitely count on, lol. That's the last thing you'll ever hear from me. Lol. Or a recent one I've been enjoying is, you seem like a lot of fun.
Withering.
Challenge.
Merlin, let me just come out with this. There's only one thing I want, which is I want some more Boston Rob impression, because it's a really funny impression. It's a really good impression that you do. It's one of my favorite impressions that you do. And it's so specific. It's like, why would it ever come up except for this episode right now?
You have to deploy it carefully. Let's see. Let me see if I can work something up. I don't have anything prepared. Let's see. I heard that you might have put my name out there. And so I want to tell you that I actually respect that a lot, that you would tell me you put my name out there. Now, I've made a sign that I'm going to read to you. It's not directly germane to the challenge, unless you think it is. Now, if you take your chits to the counter, plus get 16 tickets from the skee ball, you will have an opportunity to wear the wig. If you wear the wig for up to 6 weeks, then you're eligible for the tattoo, but not until you've been to the Outback Steakhouse Design Station, where we're going to walk you through a lot of what's happening here. Now, Sandra has not missed any Outback, let's be honest. And here's the thing. What I need you to understand is, just because I'm a stonehead doesn't mean I'm stone dead. You can only rhyme if you arrive on time, and if you memorize the contents of my sign, Boston Rob.
Oh, boss.
You know what? He looks, I love his, like, purer gray look.
Oh, he is a gray fox, that one.
I think his nipples are upsetting. His nipples are a little browner than I would prefer.
I know, just neck up. Just go neck up. And
oh, like Mike Bloomberg, we measure height from the neck up.
God, you're good.
Survivor, shit dog, what a fucking season this is gonna be.
I know.
Talk about Survivor, let's just get it out. Fucking great episode.
Spoilers for Survivor.
Season 40, it's called Winners at War. Called Winners at War.
Winners at War.
The premise is, they have, is it 20 people? Is it more than 20?
It is 20.
It's not everyone who has ever been a winner, but it's some people who have won more than once, like our pal Sandra. It's 20 previous winners of seasons of Survivor, some of whom have won more than once. And not every winner is on the show, though. Unfortunately, my boy Bob isn't there. But and so the idea is, you come in and it's going to be real wackadoo. There's a new mechanic to it, or I don't know, is that the right word for it? There's a new thing. So yeah, tell us about this, Max. What's going on with this season?
I don't know. Who are you guys excited to see? I have my favorites.
I love Ethan. I love Ethan's better, and he looks great, and I always enjoyed him. I love, who's the African-American guy? Jeremy?
Yeah, Jeremy.
Oh, Jeremy's great.
I really like Jeremy.
Jeremy's got a great, like, Survivor story, too, because he got voted out real early on Blood and Water.
Oh.
And then came back and just destroyed. Crushed.
Yeah.
Great season. Great season.
I don't think I've seen, there are a couple, like, I haven't seen Sophie's season.
The Cowboy season. I didn't see the Hustlers season, I guess.
Oh, I
could not
I
make
don't
it.
Like Ben. I don't.
He's
like
got an
Ben.
Upsetting.
I don't like him.
His whole thing is upsetting to me, but I could not make it to the end of that season. I just couldn't. I wasn't feeling that season. But I like Tony. I just think he's so fun to watch. Like,
I respect Tony. I respect his game for sure.
He is so upsetting.
I do not like him, but I really respect him.
He is such an off-kilter guy. Like, just his whole energy is so...
The way he would act at Final Council or Tribal Council was so confusing. He was such an agent of chaos at Tribal Council.
Yes.
Where, like, you know, in the same way that Rob makes all of the time away from the challenges all about him. Like, Rob controls everything. He's amazing. In that same way, Tony is the magnetic pole at the center of Tribal Council and ends up disrupting everybody else's. I don't know how he does it, but he seems to really psych people out. He's amazing.
I have to imagine if you work in reality TV or whatever, you know, documentary or something like that, and you're looking for people in your casting and you're trying to find people, finding a guy like Tony to come on your show is like a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
And it's just it's so fucking fun to have him back. Like, I just love, he's got a great voice too. Like, mm-hmm. His voice is very funny and he's just great. He's just, what a fucking weird character.
And he's a producer's dream also, because he narrates everything that happens. He breaks it down so that you can follow all of it. That's the thing. He's so articulate, but he acts fucking crazy. Like, even in his finale, he's like, nope, I didn't sleep. 30 days, no sleep. And I'm like, really? You shouldn't be alive. He frightens me quite a bit.
It's a question. Is Danny the one from the season where she wouldn't talk to the producers about what she was doing? Is that Danny? Remember there's
Danny? Is there a Danny?
Is it China? No, the woman. The woman,
Denise?
No, I love Denise.
Sniper yeah. Wolf?
I might be just remembering wrong. I thought Danny was the one. She famously, especially if you watch, oh God, I can't believe I'm saying this, watch Survivor videos. She's really famous for being a person who would not say much in the talking head segments because she didn't even want the producers to know what she was up to, and she ended up winning. Anyways, I don't know if that's Danny. What was the one, Denise? Oh, Denise, do you remember Denise's season? How crazy it was? It was down to two people in her tribe and she kept losing.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, oh my God, Denise's season Denise is so good. Was it Denise and Nick?
All right,
who was Denise. It? I feel like it was, no, that can't
no,
be.
No, Nick was,
Nick won. Nick won in the.
I would never say that someone's gotten fat. But
everyone's gotten
Nick
fat,
sure
Alex.
Looks different.
Everyone. And there's a
well,
lot going on
no,
there.
No, but here's the thing. It's the people who are, like, young who all got fat. You know? It weirded.
Ethan had cancer, and he looks terrific.
Exactly. Like, Rob, he's got a dad bod, but, yeah. Man, that he is strong. Like, all of the old people, like, I feel like they got ripped because they all knew what they were doing, but some of them not so much. Maybe they're like, you know what? I'm going to be hot by the end of this, so might as well. Like,
well, you know something? I think that a lot of your mental...
my wife thinks people were carbing up. She thinks a lot of people gained weight.
That's what Maddie said. I don't think that's
I was
that's
like, are you kidding
quite...
me? I don't believe that.
Yeah, I don't...
I think it's a lot of your mental image of these people is when you see their season, you see them most of the time like... towards the later half of the season, mm-hmm. and they've lost a ton of weight, and they're just eating like a cup of rice every day.
Yeah.
And then when they come back and they're at their normal sort of, you know, civilian weight,
yeah.
they look completely different.
Oh my God.
Can I
say something that'll get me canceled, please?
Please,
another
please.
Thing that'll get me canceled.
I already called Nick fat, so go
ahead. We don't say this to people. We don't tell women to smile, and we don't tell them how they look bad or good with a given amount of makeup. You get so used to seeing, especially some of the women, they're getting women in many cases, these younger women with just flawless features in some cases. And they're genuinely like beautiful in the face women. And then when you see them at the finale.
They're like a regular Lena the Plug.
Like a Lena the Plug, who just is a natural beauty, penis in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the finale and you're like, you look like clowns. Why are you all wearing so much lip gloss?
Yes.
Well, it's one thing to put
yes,
the weight back on,
no,
but everybody's got
absolutely.
So much lip gloss. And you're like,
oh,
like Amanda,
wow. Yeah,
Amanda, oh no, Amanda, you're so pretty. Mm-hmm. What have you done to yourself?
I know, Amanda.
Amanda's my yes. She's my survivor. She's my survivor girl.
Amanda should smile less, honestly. Like, yeah. Oh.
I think that I feel that way about a lot of the dudes because they get like kind of crazy beards or something
yes.
like that, or longer hair and beards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that guy like looks cool. And then he comes back and he's all clean shaven
yes.
and, you know,
like Brandon.
Kind of cleaned up. And I'm like,
remember when, or not Brandon, Rodney. Rodney had gotten all like dressed up. Remember, hey, it's my birthday. I'm watching, this is not my birthday. And then he comes back and he's wearing his little suit, his little man suit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you look ridiculous. Like,
all the men look like ventriloquist dummies. They're so weird.
You should have kept the beard.
Yeah. You know, just one thing in passing about this. Mm-hmm. In our chronology with this show, boy, we've watched a lot of this show very quickly over the last, whatever, year or two.
Yeah.
But, like, for example, like, so you made me watch Survivor, was it during the Cochran season, probably?
When I started you, it was David versus Goliath.
Was it Christian? Yeah, it was the Christian season. You got me into that. And then our next one that we watched was, the famous Extremely Good Season with Russell, Heroes versus Villains. Yeah. I think it was Heroes versus Villains. Mm. So Heroes versus Villains. Well, I do have some cool.
Wait, how did you watch that without knowing who those people were?
Yeah,
is that the Boston Rob season?
No.
Yeah, he was on. I think so. No. I mean, you can watch any season; it doesn't matter. Anyway, so we. Okay, so we didn't watch it, but if we had watched it, if I did it,
wrong opinion.
All I was gonna say was that.
Wait, say it one more time.
Oh, sorry. You can watch them in any order. Oh, God. I think I just got something on my permanent record.
Don't make me call Syracusa.
This is such a dumb point now for 90 seconds to get to this dumb point. Sorry. The dumb point was that's such a fun season because anything with Russell is fun. Anything with Coach, big personalities. I kind of like that this one has just, I don't say just good players, because there's always gimmicks like Tony. If Tony's involved, there's going to be gimmicks. But I like that it's not just a, like, it's not too ridiculous in terms of the, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no Philip. There's no Coach. There's no Russell. There's nobody there who's, like, rubbing their hands together and trying to be the supervillain. They're all people who are empirically good at challenges and at the social game. You know what I mean? I think they chose well here, and this is, I don't know. I think it's going to be a very enjoyable season.
I agree. It felt, honestly, like a documentary about Survivor more than an episode of Survivor, other than the challenges. Like, it was like a behind-the-scenes sort of thing. And, you know, watching these people catch up and, oh, Rob talking to Ethan like, you good, man? You good? And he's like, yeah, I'm doing great. And some of them are clearly there. Like, Ethan, just to have fun and, oh, man, Parvati.
I love the focus on like I used to be able to be the flirty girl, but now I've got these kids, and I whether or not that's true then and now, it is still like her sort of framing story is like Parvati's gonna have to learn a new game to play here.
Yeah.
I really like her.
She's very attractive. I'm very excited. I know that nice she smile. Can't win, yeah. But she should also smile more.
Ugh. All right, who? So I love the draft. For me, the fantasy league makes it a lot more like lively and exciting to watch because you have these people that even though there's nothing at stake, it's just fun to like. It adds another layer to it of like to root for some people who sort of you arbitrarily got in the draft. Mm-hmm. I'm curious who you guys would draft. Who do you think is going to go far in this season?
Yule.
Ooh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think he's going to adapt really quickly to the game in terms of like because he comes off when he talks about game theory and stuff super weird, but then you see him interact with people and he's, you know, a hot guy who's good at challenges, who can manipulate people and knows the numbers. Mm. So I think, and plus he's not like a favorite necessarily, like he doesn't have a bunch of ties. So I think he is going to go a long way. I think he's going to like glom on to Rob.
I think Yule is getting, I did not draft him, but I think he's getting a lot of heat very early, which a lot of times, especially in these returning players seasons, it's the sleepers who wind up winning at the end.
But there, I mean, that's the problem. The sleepers are a lot of the
women.
Like so, exactly, like Sophie and Denise.
Love Sophie.
And that's the thing. I don't know if. I don't know. I think they're gonna like what's her name at the beginning? She was voted off because they all kind of wanted to be diplomatic, and they're like, okay, this will just make one person angry, not eight. You know. So I think it's going to be weird.
Before I name one, can I raise a point of information that I need help with?
Yes.
I always get so confused about what's implied and what is explicit about things like Ding-a-Ling Island. Explain to me what we know right now about Ding-a-Ling Island. Okay, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because in the past, I always feel like I missed a day in class. Where I'm like, well, wait, so really what do we know is, what is Ding-a-Ling Island for, what is accomplished there, and what is the goal of somebody who's on Ding-a-Ling Island? And the last few seasons, it's just, I feel like it's so muddled. It is not a clear, like you understand what the jury is, the functional component of the jury, right? When you've been voted off of the show, you go to the jury, you can hang out and you listen, and you'll eventually help decide who the winner is. Tell me, what is Dingling Island for, and what is the goal once you're on Dingling Island?
So do you mean within the fiction of the show, what's the, like, conceit of Dingling Island? Or
why it's really there.
I feel like there's so many lost opportunities to be super clear about saying, here's what happens. When you leave, so for example, like if it were me, I would do it something like this. Okay, when you get voted off, you're going to go to that place with the torches and the signs, and you're going to get to choose, do you want to go home or do you want to go to Dingling Island? When you go to Dingling Island, you will have exactly this is me talking here, you will have exactly this backpack of provisions. If you want to leave at any time, you can raise the flag. Other people will be coming to Dingling Island. And now let me explain what happens while you're here. It could be that you will compete in challenges to have the chance to come back in. It could be that we will form an entire new tribe over here and only one of you will come back. I feel like there's so many ways they could be utilizing that to have a second game inside the game. And it mostly is people sitting around being sunburned and sad. What is the role of Dingling Island in this season?
So are you asking, like, what's the conceit within the fiction of the show? Or are you asking, like, production-wise, like, behind the scenes, what is it doing for them from, like, a production?
As a viewer of the show, what am I to glean when somebody goes to Dingling Island and how will I know if they're doing well?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh, well, they're not... I guess I take your point that they're
Why
not...
do they never explain what's happening there? That's so dumb.
Yeah.
There should be a whole second game happening. They should come back as a whole tribe. Or, like, the season where TV Guy, where Devins came back, it was so muddled where it's like, okay, wait a minute. So nobody talks about the fact that there's this place where they go and you've come back and you've seen these things. And then, so now Devins is back in the competition, but Dingling Island is still going on. Like, what is it for?
Yeah.
What does it do?
Well, I think that I don't know this. I'm just guessing from, like, I'm just making some guesses here.
Yeah.
But I think that Dingling Island is back this season because part of the deal with, so I think they had, first of all, they have all these big name sort of celeb Survivor players playing this season. And I think that they didn't want to get rid of those people. They were worried that, like, for example, the first 3 weeks, you're going to have Boston Rob, Sandra, Tony, like all these people voted, the big names voted out right away because they're threats. Mm-hmm. And then you don't want to do the season without those people. And so they're like, how do we get those, keep those people on camera and have more airtime for them out, you know, where we can have them on the show?
And what was
and it's possible that some of those people did not agree to come back unless they had a way to still be part of the show, even if they were voted off.
Mm-hmm.
That may have been part of the way that they got all these incredible casts to come back.
That's been almost confirmed. It was, like, officially confirmed by CBS that all of the players are getting more money just for being on the show, which, yeah, they should be. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, by day. So, and that includes Dingling Island. And they were trying to get all 20 players, like, way before Edge of Extinction, the actual season itself. And so that was supposed to be where they test out the mechanics. But all over, like, Survivor Reddit and stuff, it seems like the consensus is those really were Dinglings, and they were boring, and they didn't really do anything, so there wasn't enough to show. But it's also weird because they shoot that island differently, too. Like, they don't do it, like, confessional style. They do it, like, documentary style with, like you're talking to an interviewer instead of the audience. Did you notice that?
No, I hadn't noticed that.
I don't like it. I don't know. It's very strange. But no, they Jeff at the very beginning says you will go to Edge of Extinction where you will have an opportunity to get back into the game, and that's kind of all that's said. And then Natasha, Natalie, I don't know. She reads that little plaque thingy that's like you can earn fire tokens. Woo! But we don't know yet what that's actually going to do. Didn't she give someone an idol or something?
Okay, so not to sound like me here, but so it's not just me. It is undefined.
Right. It's very much like there will definitely be a twist.
I feel so stupid. There's so many seasons that have something island. And in almost every case, I feel like it's such a missed opportunity. We talked about this during our, like, how would you improve Survivor thing. I mean, while I realized it would be probably too much, I had that fantasy about having two separate survivors going at the same time without knowing about each other, and then doing a tribe swap or doing a merge. that they never knew was coming. Well, I know that would probably be too much, but I just feel like there's so many things where like they walk right up to the edge of doing something so interesting, but then, and they're so canny about what they think about and show on this program. But like for somebody who actually enjoys the game part of it, I mean, it would be like explaining to somebody, like saying, okay, well, you know, in hockey, it's possible to get something called a penalty, and then you go to the penalty box. And you're like, well, what's the penalty box? Like, we're not going to tell you. Like, well, okay. Like, what, am I going to get beat up there? Like, what's going to happen? You'll see.
I think that's by design for the viewers, because it's, remember, it's CBS. And
yeah, they have to thread the needle of making something that will enjoy as people who have like consumed too much Survivor, but also something that if it's literally the first time you turn on the program, it has to like make a certain amount of sense to you. And plus, mm-hmm. I think they also enjoy a little bit of the keeping you guessing what's going to happen. Like mm-hmm. we probably mm-hmm. enjoy watching it more as like a strategist of like, okay, we want to know the whole system of this and make our guess.
Yeah, how will we know if these people are doing well? That's part of it. It's like it's difficult to know. Mm-hmm. Like right. if you understand the goal of a quarterback, how will you know if they're doing
so,
well?
So you and I enjoy watching it as a kind of a sport where it's like, okay, we know all the rules mm-hmm. and how are these people going to perform and how's it going to be different? I think Survivor is trying to accommodate that a little bit, but mainly they just are trying to have it be a reality show. And they're like, anything could happen at any minute. And they love twists. And they're not really overly concerned with it being like a strategically pleasing, you know, thing like that. That's just my mm-hmm. two cents. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Like, I would love for there to be fewer, less idol play in general, which is another one of those things of like it's a crazy...
I-D-L-E or I-D-O-L?
I-D-O-L. Like, it's like... Okay. Like,
Really?
To me,
I
yes.
I kind of like the idol stuff.
Oh, I think it's overdone to the point of I enjoy the social... It interferes.
Oh, do you think it like what's the word they use in video games where they have to re-level? Do you feel like it overpowers, or what's the phrase? You know the phrase.
Well,
like
it's that someone might be playing a perfect game. Someone might be playing a perfect game and have everything all worked out, and they're not really rewarded for playing the game very well because of the role of the idols.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's why they're constantly changing things with the idol nullifier, and I think you're right. It does get a little muddled, but. There was that one season, I think it was Ghost Island, where it didn't really work because there were so many idols, and at one point, like, people forgot who had the idol and who didn't. But just, I think the idea of, like, okay, there is one idol on each island, and when it's used up, then you can search for the idol again. It's simple mm-hmm. enough that it's not, you know, the crazy idol nullifier and then, like, you get one extra vote or you get to cancel someone's mm-hmm. vote. And I'm not a huge fan of that stuff.
I like, what did I say? I think I've said this here on the show. But what I think I like about the idols in general is that, God, where did I say this? It must have been here. What makes Survivor interesting to me, as I think we're all sort of saying, is like the social game and how people strategize with each other and all that kind of stuff. But in some ways, really, information is power, right? Even if it's false information. So the information of like whose name we're going to put out there, like all that kind of stuff, knowing what other people don't know is very important. And part of knowing what other people don't know is who does or does not have an idol. Like, just because you have a rock in your pocket or you have something in your pocket doesn't mean it's an idol. But I know that is or is not an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that information becomes doubly important. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I love idols. I like any mechanic in this that changes the balance of or... increases the interest in who knows more than another person today and provides the opportunity for disruption, right? So like somebody who there have been times where there's people I really, really like on the show, but you know they're not going to make it. And like, but if they found an idol, that could disrupt it. I like that because now the people, the Boston Robs of the world, do need, now they're going to need more information too in order mm-hmm. to deter, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like the idols are fun as they lead to an existence or absence of information, you know, as things, and they're fun when they're fake. When people make fake ones like Bob and Devin's, it's always funny. Or like the one where didn't somebody just make a stick one time and gave it to Eric or something?
Yeah, and that's a stick. That's a fucking
that's
stick.
A stick. Anyway, but no, I hear you. Like it can be, it gets to be too much. It gets just to be too much. But I'm excited for the season.
Hey, I'm curious who you guys think is going to do well in this season, or if there's a reason you can't say. Who do you guys like?
I don't think about it the same way as you do. I'm just there for the ride. There are people I hope do well because I really like them, but I don't have any way to figure that out. I can't play chess.
Who do you hope does well?
Oh, I mean, obviously I want Pavpov to go all the way, but I think Yule has a good Yule and Natalie, it would be too much of a stretch.
Natalie's already on Dingling Island, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but she has a chance to come back. Who knows how?
Or not. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck happens there. Nobody tells me.
I think Yule and Sophie, if she doesn't fuck up, because Sophie's really a dark horse. I just don't want Ben to win.
Sophie's totally a dark horse. And the thing is, like we've all said, or like, you know, this is also part of the sales job of Survivors to say, hey, everybody knows and mostly likes Boston Rob. Boy, he's a big target. Everybody knows and mostly likes Amber. Boy, she's a big target. Everybody knows and I guess likes Sandra. I think she's the worst.
People love.
Well, and she's just so, I hate the way she plays. I've always hated the way she plays. Mm-hmm. It's very unenjoyable to watch. It's almost like if you were somebody who loved boxing on a very pure level, you would hate to watch Muhammad Ali fight. Because he fights in a way that's very frustrating to people who like classical boxing that want to see both people beating the shit out of each other. He just stands there until you get tired.
Mm-hmm.
And with Sandra, she's like, well, I'm just not going to play until I feel like playing.
Yeah, that's how she won the first season. Like, she basically didn't do anything.
Which is no fun. It's not fun, and she's annoying, and why is she wearing that hat?
It's like her husband.
She's stealing valor, Alex.
She is. She has stolen her husband's valor. I feel like that relationship isn't healthy.
God, I get it. I get it. He's in the military. He gets insurance. Do-do-do-do-do. Okay. Anyway, so who do I think? I do love Yule. I do think Sophie, what was the point of that? Is that Sophie is much less of a target in the early days,
mm-hmm.
I think. Plus people still, this is the thing that's so funny to me, like as an outsider who's not tired and hungry, is that it is always funny to me when people end up voting off really strong people early on. They're the people who get into their game way too early.
Yeah.
But you're like, yeah, well, and like the kind of people who come in and are like, ha-ha, I'm going to run this from day one. And then they're out the first week because they're obviously an idiot. But then they're also people.
Well, that's why I like this one, because everybody, like obviously there's stronger people, but there's no one who's terrible at challenges.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's nobody who's going to be like, no shade on Courtney. I think she's a very interesting character. But like, there's those characters that it feels like they sat out every time they could.
Yes.
Or like, understandably, I mean, Courtney, what do you say about Courtney?
She took her top off.
You're thinking of Sugar.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. How could I forget that?
Sugar's the burlesque lady and Courtney needs a sandwich. And
there
so
we
she,
go, yes.
But okay. Courtney, I don't think she's crazy strong. Like, if you're doing the thing where you got to pick up the bag and try to get it over the line, I'm not going to have Courtney. She's going to sit that one out for me.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why they got rid of Natalie and not Jeremy.
Or the beating somebody in the mud pit.
Yeah.
Like, James is really good at beating people in the mud pit.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what are you talking about? Natalie, I don't know, man. Natalie's yoked.
No.
She's
but between
very strong.
The reason they wanted to get rid of her was because she was so tight with Jeremy. And, like, if you're going to make them arm wrestle, Jeremy's going to win. So I think that's the only reason.
I think at this stage in the game, all the reasons that are sort of given out loud for why you get rid of people is mostly, like, sort of kayfabe. I think it's all sort of like, well, I got to say something. Yeah. So it's going to be she's close with Jeremy. But who the fuck knows? Like, sometimes it's just random. Sometimes it's anybody but me.
Sometimes it's just, like, who you can manage to get out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's somewhat random and dependent upon other people.
On Edge of Extinction, they got rid of that one woman who was, like, was it Dawn? Who was, she was really upset that she was the first one out.
Yeah.
But then it was, like, they had to come up with some reason they were getting her out, and they didn't want to say, well, it's because we don't like her or whatever. Yeah. So it's like she moved everyone's clothes. And it's just like, what?
Oh, shit. Yes, that was the worst.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, you're just saying something. You just have to have a reason to have a reason, because you know you're on TV and you have to not look like an asshole.
But and it's like what we could get in the edit. Like we have footage of her moving someone's clothes to the beach or off the beach. And you're like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's so dumb. She touched my clothes. I want her out. Don't touch my clothes.
Don't touch my clothes.
Max, let's ask you the question. Have you told us yet? What's your pick? Talk about your what do you call it? What do you, what's the game?
The draft, right, fantasy league. So in the fantasy league, you obviously get points for each week that they stay in, and you get points if they find idols and stuff. But you also get points if they get confessionals. So if they get a lot of camera time. So I tried to balance people who I so I always look at who's really I always watch those like Entertainment Weekly like interviews, you know, before the season, and I try to pick out who's funny. Who's really funny in their interviews? Because I think that person's going to get a lot of screen time.
Didn't you say you look for who brought a two-piece bathing suit?
I do. It's not who brought it. It's that the production puts you in a two-piece bathing suit.
Of the clothes you brought that they choose from.
Correct. Correct. And so if production puts you in a two-piece piece bathing suit, to me that's an indicator that they're going to put you on camera a lot. Because you're hot.
I feel like Tony gets a lot of camera time historically. He's very telegenic.
So I took, let me look at, I have Tony, I have Lawyer Nick, and I have Sandra, which was not, Sandra was my last round, and it just sort of like, that's just the person I could get. I don't think Sandra's going to do well or win, but I just, Tony was my top pick, and then Nick, I was pretty lucky, I think I was pretty lucky to get Nick. Nick, I think has a real shot to go pretty far in this game.
I really like Nick. I came around to that decision somewhat slowly, but when we went back and watched that season again, I was like, you know, Nick really did do a good job, and he really did come a long way.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, now who's the boy that I liked in that season that I wanted to win? Was that the Christian season?
Yeah.
Yes.
The robot guy I love. Oh, he and his girlfriend when she showed up during the family visit. Oh, my God. Ugh, that was such a good season. That was a good season to start with. I really, really liked it.
If people want to watch Getting to Survivor, I still endorse going back on Hulu or something, and you find Survivor David vs. Goliath. I think that's the strongest season.
Hulu is a homemade dick, or CBS is a homemade dick about what endures.
Yeah.
Of Survivor on Hulu. And I'll tell you, buddy, believe me, I know, because my daughter and I have spent a lot of time with this. There is in pretty much, all, I mean, who knows as of this moment, right? Because it's all fucking changes and it's madness. And it's like, oh, somebody took the Eight of Spades out and we didn't know. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden, episode 3 is not in a given season.
It's
but
so
all the other shows
weird.
Are there. You're like, what the fuck is going, why this one episode? Did they pull it for some reason? Like why? Because like I understand the thing of we've taken away all of your whatever show, Office. And all that will endure now is what you have. Sort of TiVo'd. The back catalog to which you usually have 100% access is now gone. If you've TiVo'd, so you know what I mean when I say TiVo'd? If you've, God, Hulu is so fucked up. If you go into Hulu, you can say like, add this to my, have we talked about this enough? The thing where like, sometimes you can watch a show and sometimes you can't, and sometimes you can rewind and sometimes you can't, depending on how you entered into the show. Have you ever noticed this?
Well, the craziest thing to me is I'll watch something and then I'll say to Veronica, hey, you got to watch this thing. And I'll come upstairs a few hours later or next day, and she's watching it. I'm like, and she's watching ads that she can't skip on Hulu. And I'm like, how are you watching this?
When I'm paying $80 a month for this, and I still get ads on some things, it's maddening.
But I'm like, how is it possible? I don't even know what sequence of buttons you press.
That's because you got the TiVo'd version. That went under your TiVo pile. So if you come in and start watching SNL or the Oscars in progress, you can't rewind. Mm-hmm. Unless you come in through this other door. And then you get to start at the beginning unless it has not shown up in that pile yet. It's so fucking grating. It's, oh, the, it's worst. The worst.
You should do that explanation in the Boston Rob voice.
Well, it brings me right back to that Ernie Kovacs bit with Drungo. You know, the pink wooden triangles and the drillings and the...
Drungo.
Drungo. Whoa. thoughts. Let's get to the after show soon. Oh, my God. Oh, we gotta fucking leave. It's 1 hour and 25 minutes.
Oh my God.
Is that right?
Yep.
I'm having fun.
Let's. Well, we still gotta do another show.
There's the other one.
Didn't they get enough?
No.
Say something funny, Merlin. Come on. No pressure.
Yeah, Merlin,
no
we're all counting on
come
you.
Come on.
Oh, fuck your mother.